We welcome all of you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We are glad to have you here today. And in our call to worship, I'm going to draw your attention to the passage that we are in Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul, who's speaking to these Athenian intellectuals, the Stoics, the Epicureans, those that were worshiping this unknown God, he says to them in verse 29, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, or created ones of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." You know, it's an amazing thing how that human beings can worship graven images made from gold and silver and stone and think that somehow this inanimate object is worthy of receiving worship. And Paul is making the thing, he says, you're worshiping something that's stone, and you need to understand you're a living being. You're alive. The stone is not. Does that make sense? He's really rebuking them. Here you are, you're intellectuals, and yet you're calling this stone God, this memorial to the unknown God, and you worship here, and yet you're a living being. God is a living being, and He is the giver of life, offspring. He is the one that gives life, and He Himself is alive. What a glorious truth to know that our God, before the foundation of the world, the living God, determined that He was going to make lost sinners like His Son, Jesus Christ, alive. Give new life to those that were dead in trespasses and sin before they ever created mankind. The wonderful foreknowledge of God and the planning of God, the living God. May we never forget that we serve a true and living God, not a figment of our imaginations, not this figure that's somewhere out in outer space. No, He's here right now. Amen? He is with us. He's everywhere. That understanding of God was missing in this society that we read about from the Scriptures. And so they were simply substituting a piece of stone or a piece of a precious metal as the object to represent this unknown God. Totally inadequate, totally false, wrong-headed. They needed to repent. They needed to change their mind and come to the right understanding of God, that He is alive and that He's always been, He is, and will always be. And your future and my future rests in Him. And the truth that we're going to look at today is one that we need to be reminded of and take it to a lost and dying world. The truth of the true and living God, the one whose Son He sent to take our place on Calvary's tree, who is alive. He has a body, and He's at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says, making intercession right now for you and for me. This is real. This is reality. May we grasp it and love it and appreciate it, and may we take the message of Christ to a lost and dying world.
Let's turn to hymn number 9 this morning. Hymn number 9, we want to sing, "O Worship the King." Hymn number 9, let's stand together and sing about the greatness of our Lord. Hymn number 9.
Splendor and girded with grace.
prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives for a lost and fallen humanity. Thank you for what we just sung about your greatness, Lord, the King ruling and reigning above, the one who is full of power that has created this universe, yet full of love and tender affection for that creation. Thank you, Lord, that you are the maker, but yet even though we have fallen in sin, you're the defender, the redeemer, and the friend. We thank you as our Savior told his disciples that he doesn't call them servants, but we are his friends. Lord, what a tender and endearing a mindset that our Savior has for us. Lord, I just ask that we would appropriate that and relish in that. We continue to study your scriptures to see more and more of who Christ is. Lord, what a direction that would put our lives in and a mindset that we would have of the greatness of our God and his love for us. Father, thank you for providing a way from the beginning of time for us to be redeemed, for us to be restored and reconciled back to our Creator God who loves us. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ that took on the penalty of that sin that has to be paid. Lord, the justice that was done, the justification then, the reconciliation, and then the righteousness that's put on our accounts, Lord, that we do not in any way deserve. Thank you, Father, so much for, again, who you are and what you've done for us as your people. Father, I ask that you would bless all that are here this morning, that you would help us as we go through this worship service that we've been a part of, that we would sing with understanding as we look at these songs, and our hearts would again be focused on you to worship who you are. Deliver us, Lord, from our own thoughts this morning, our own thoughts that compare many times, our own thoughts that categorize things, our own thoughts that try to establish some sense of superiority. Lord, may we be humbled in your word this morning, and may our focus be on Jesus Christ. I pray that, Father, this morning the service would not end without a focus of Jesus Christ in our hearts, and that you would point out some greatness of who Jesus is to us this morning. That would encourage us, that would edify us, that would strengthen us as we face another week. Lord, there's many things happening here at this time of the year. There's a lot of things going on campus here. There's a lot of things in the school, out at the ballpark area, the different things and activities. And we just ask you to guide and bless in each one. Thank you for such an incredible re-registration of our school for the past 2 weeks. And now, Lord, as we've opened up to the new families this weekend, I ask that you would just guide each one of them, that you would have for us. We thank you for the ability to be a witness here in this community through our school. Father, just bless again this service, those that couldn't be here because of sickness, weakness, situations, circumstances that come up so many times, and we just ask you to be near to them as well. We do especially pray for Anthony and Tilly and Laura. Lord, I know that they're heartbroken over the passing of Ed. Father, they need your comfort, your guidance, your strength, Lord, and as we've sung here, your mercy is tender and it's firm all the way to the end. It will not change, and we thank you for your mercy and show that to them and comfort them through this time. Lord, bless again our service this morning as we continue to worship you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll flip over now to number 19 as we continue to sing this morning. Number 19, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4, number 19.
Jesus, thou art welcome, Master.
Let's turn to number 22. 22 before the special and the message. Number 22, we want to sing How Great Thou Art. Again, to focus on our Creator God. Verses 1 and 3. Verses 1 and 3, number 22.
God's people say, amen. Appreciate that special by the Bryans. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 17 with me, please. Acts chapter 17. We are continuing in our series on how God leads. And the Lord led the Apostle Paul to the city of Athens, which was the center of the Greek empire. And he went by himself, leaving behind Silas and Timothy. And they would join him later, especially when they went down to Corinth together. But we are continuing in our study of this passage of Scripture, and I want to begin reading at verse 22 today, and I'm going to be reading from Phillips Translation. I want you to follow along in your Bible. As I begin reading at verse 22, this message that Paul preaches at Mars Hill, and you'll see pictured upon the screen the rebuilt Areopagus, where he ministered there on Mars Hill. And I want to begin reading at verse 22, and you follow along. So Paul got to his feet in the middle of their council and began, "Gentlemen of Athens, my own eyes tell me that you are in all respects an extremely religious people. For as I have made my way here and looked at our shrines, I particularly noticed one altar on which were inscribed the words, 'To God the Unknown.' It is this God, whom you are worshiping in ignorance, that I am here to proclaim to you. God, who made the world and all that is in it, being Lord of both heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by human hands, nor is he ministered to by human hands, as though he need of anything, seeing that he is the one who gives to all men life and breath and everything else. From one forefather, he has created every ethnic group to live over the face of the whole earth. He has determined the times of their existence and the limits of their habitation, so that they might search for God in the hope that they might feel for Him and find Him, yes, even though He is not far from any one of us. And indeed, it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. Some of your own poets have endorsed this in the words, 'For we are indeed His children. If then we are the children of God, we ought not to imagine God in terms of gold or silver or stone, contrived by human art or imagination. Now, while it is true that God has overlooked the days of ignorance, He now commands all men everywhere to repent. For He has fixed a day on which He will judge the whole world in justice by the standard of a man whom He has appointed.'" That man, by the way, is the Lord Jesus Christ. "That this is so, He has guaranteed to all men by raising this man from the dead." And when his audience heard Paul talk about the resurrection from the dead, some of them laughed outright. But others said, "We should like to hear more of what you have to say on this subject." So with this mixed reception, Paul retired from their assembly. Yet some did in fact join him and accept the faith, including Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, a woman by the name of Damaris, and some others as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the written Word of God. I thank you for the testimony that bears out the truth of what took place so many years ago on that hill in Athens. And I thank you, dear Father, for the message that was delivered to those that were there and a message that we can share today from this pulpit. I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, instruct us on how we deal with people in this world with varying understandings of who God is and who His Son is. And I pray that we might be able to share with them the truth of the Creator God, but also share with them the truth of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one who went to the cross and died and rose again bodily from the tomb, in whom we have salvation. We pray, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we laid the foundation of what took place there at Mars Hill, and we're going to get into the message today of what the apostle preached. And he basically brings out five important factors that these people were ignorant of. And he wanted them to know with certainty. And the first thing that he communicates is that this memorial to this God that could not be known or was unknown to them was the one that Paul would speak to them about, that this one true God, this Creator God, has revealed Himself. They saw this God as being unrevealed to them. They didn't know who He was. And so because they did not know, they had created this memorial there. And they were religious observance of worshiping this unknown God. But Paul says, I'm here to tell you about this unknown God. He is the true and living God, and He has revealed Himself. Now stop right there. No other God on the planet had self-revealed themselves. Because all the other gods were the inventions of human beings. Are you understanding where these people were? These inventions of the Stoics and the Epicureans and all the religious folk throughout time, these idols that they worshiped, Zeus, whom they considered to be the primary god, were all inventions of human minds. And Paul says, you need to repent. You need to change your mind. I'm here to tell you about the one who has revealed Himself in two ways. He goes into detail, first of all, by saying that He revealed Himself in creation. Now, we're reminded of this in several places in the New Testament. You go to Romans chapter 1 and says that God has revealed Himself in the things that are alive here upon this earth. He's revealed Himself. His omnipotence, His greatness, His authority is revealed in the creation. But secondly, God has revealed Himself through another one. He's not named in this passage, but He is the one who died and was risen from the grave. And that's none other than His Son. God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what we know about God and creation is insufficient to save a lost soul. But it is the foundation. Because this Son, whom the Father sent, was also the one that created all things, we learn in the New Testament. But their God problem had to be settled. All these multitudinous gods, the polytheism that they had, and then this memorial to this God that they did not know for sure existed, but they still worship just in case, Paul says, has been revealed. And no longer will they live in ignorance. Because this God has revealed Himself in creation, and this God has revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned this last week. Not everybody is at the same place in their knowledge and understanding of who God is and who His Son is. I think many, many times we make assumptions. We make assumptions that people living in the South, they all know about Jesus Christ. No, they don't. No, they don't. They may have ideas about who He is, but He's revealed in the Word of God, not in my mind. He's told about it in His Word. So we've got to link people to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ, John 1, who is the living Word. And so we've got to, many times, lay a foundation. Don't we do that with our children when they're born into our families as Christians? We want to give them the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, God as Creator. Where did you get your life from? Well, if you go to public school and you listen to the evolution, you get your life from some unknown beginning in the past. And we have all these links together that we think we came from this creature that may have come up out of the water or this, that, or the other. But we're told in the Word of God that God took a lump of dirt, and He breathed into it a living soul, and it became a living soul, a human being, fashioned by God Himself in power and in authority and with intelligence. Oh, folks, there's nothing intelligent about a lump of gold. There's nothing intelligent about a lump of silver. There's nothing intelligent about a stone with carvings on it to the unknown God. That's not intelligence. Intelligence is looking at the beauty of a created human being, looking at the beauty of what He has created here in the earth. Over the last few days, I've spent some time looking up into the heavens because we saw the planets lined up. It was an amazing thing to see God's creation. And when you look up into the heavens, you see colors. And you see the beauty of all these things that have been made that He did what? He spoke into existence. That's our God. And we have to lay that foundation that we're not here by happenstance. We just weren't born here upon this earth and it was just some lucky thing that happened. But rather, it was God's purposes that brought us here to this earth. And God has purposed to redeem lost sinners through the second revealed aspect of His character and His person, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ. So, the first thing that He touches on is that this Creator God, this true and living God, has revealed Himself in creation, and more specifically, in the Word of God. That's where we all learned. As a child, whenever I sat in this very room and I've had teachers and preachers and evangelists that taught me the Word, it was the laying of the foundation that God made all things. Don't believe a lie in its place. Don't be deceived. God made all things. And with humanity, He did something special that He didn't do with anything else. He made Adam and breathed into him life and made him a living soul that would last for how long? Eternity. You know, we have to on campus constantly purge dead trees. They die. They may be old, but sooner or later they fall over and they crash down to the ground. They don't make it for eternity, but your living soul is going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever, because God is eternal and God breathed life into us and we are now eternal. We're going to live somewhere forever. Now, you can choose. God's revealed Himself. He's revealed not only Himself, but He's revealed His character in love and grace and mercy. And He did that through another person. The second person of the Trinity, the Son, in whom we can have life through His resurrection. We have life given by God in birth, and through Christ we can have life eternal because of the finished work on the cross of Calvary. He has revealed Himself. No other God has been revealed. Self-revealed, that is. They've all been figments of human imaginations. But the true and living God has revealed Himself in making all things. And this was a message that was missed by the Stoics and the Epicureans and the thinkers of the day. They didn't know that. They just had created these gods for each one of the weather patterns and the seas and the air and all these things, all these different gods that they had named for that. It was a human contrived program. And it wouldn't save one soul. But God revealed Himself, and through His Son, souls can be saved because of His atoning work on the cross of Calvary. So, this God has revealed Himself. Number two, this Creator God transcends humanity because He alone can give life from nothing. Now think about the fact and all that we are surrounded by, the constellations and then coming down on earth and the trillions and trillions of atoms that make up all things that God has made. There are billions of atoms in this room right now and we can't see one of them. Now I can see you sitting there. You're a big lump of atoms and molecules and so forth like that. Now, please don't go out of here saying, "Oh, Pastor hates us. He called us a molecule." No, that's not the point. The point is this, is that the infinite God has made things out of things that you and I can't see. You got up this morning, you didn't have to say, oh, we got to pump the house full of air today. We're not going to have enough to make it. No. God supplies. God supplies. I can't see it, but it's there. And He did this as a gift to all mankind. His infinite love. He transcends humanity. What is humanity to? Humanity always tries to make God a little bit lower than we are. Isn't that interesting? Religions, cults, always try to reduce God down to something they can put in their pocket. And in reality, what it basically comes back to, God is me. That's the heart and soul. But we're not God. We're not God. We just live here for a short while. If we were God, we would be able to exist for all eternity, past, present, and future. But we're not. We do have a living soul that when we were gifted with that, it now lives for all eternity. But there's a choice to be made. Are you going to live eternity in your little made-up world? Or are you going to look and change your mind? Metanoia, repent. Change your mind about how you think and start thinking like God thinks. How does He think? I've given you my Son, Jesus Christ. Your way leads to a devil's hell. Your way is broad. There's a bunch of people going that way, but it's the wrong way. You need to come on the way of Christ, the narrow way, which leads unto life. That's the picture. So this God that Paul's talking about transcends humanity. And we ought not to think of Him in terms of gold and silver and stone, but rather as a living being who is all in all. That's the picture that's given to us. You see, they had capsulized their main god into one, a Greek god, Zeus. But even he was not all-powerful. He had contenders that were a part of the Greek mythology. Contenders! We have one God. Amen? And all others fall before Him. Because they're not real. Satan, who is a created being, lifted himself up with pride. Lucifer, the angel of light. And a third of the angels followed him, and they were cast out of heaven. And he spends his time trying to figure out a way how he can be God, but he'll never be God because he's been created by God. So we cede no territory to him. In Christ Jesus, I have the victory. Amen. I don't have to be a victim. I don't have to live that way. They were constantly surveilling the scene. Did we forget a God somewhere? Oh, let's just make a memorial to the unknown God. We'll worship them. That's ignorance. God has revealed Himself. He's given knowledge of Himself. And this God transcends all humanity. He's not lower than we are. He is above all things. We are nothing. Number three, we find in this passage of Scripture that this true and living God can be known through repentance. Changing of the mind. Notice this, please, in our passage of Scripture. Go back to verses 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver and stone. By the way, he does three things there, gold, silver, stone, that are replacements for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Graven and made with man's devices. But verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what? Repent. In the Greek language is that word metanoia. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Accept what God has said rather than what men have put out there and said, this is the way we ought to worship. Reject that and receive what God says. Do you realize that every one of us that came to Christ had to change our minds about so many different things? Change our minds about who we thought we were. Change our minds about what God said He was and is. There has to be that rejection of untruth and the acceptance of truth. And what these Greeks had done, they had accepted all these false things, false ideas, false philosophies, and they said, this over here, this is truth, but it wasn't truth. They were lied to. The false narrative continues to this very hour. There are so many false narratives out there that draw the attention away from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it puts it on man-made contrivances and devices. Look over here. Don't look over there. Look over here. Shiny object syndrome. Look at what we've made. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful what we've made, but it's false. It's error. And we have to be shared the truth as God has revealed it. Number four, we find here that this Creator God, this true and living God, will judge the whole earth by the standard of His Son. Now notice this, please. Why does He bring this into it? Why would He bring in a message of judgment? Because God says, I will judge. I will judge. Notice this, please. Verse 31, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him, that man, from the dead. Now what's the emphasis here? What is He saying here? He is saying that He has sent His Son, this man, who has died on the cross and He has risen again. This man has been given all authority, and this same man will judge the earth. This is yet future. Our sins were judged on the cross, but there is a future judgment. There's going to be a judgment upon this world, this earth. There is going to be a reckoning with all the nations of the earth. The sheep and the goats are pictured in Matthew chapter 25 and 26. What is going to happen? There's going to be a judgment. And the sad thing is that lost sinners are condemned already. But there is hope in the man. The man, Christ Jesus. And this is the whole point of this passage. In order to be resurrected, you have to be what? Flesh, right? You have to be flesh. God's not resurrected because He's never dead. Jesus Christ, though, took upon Himself flesh and dwelt among us and was crucified on the cross. He died, and on the third day, He rose again from the tomb. Isn't it interesting the response that Paul got when he got to this part of the message? They didn't get all upset, per se, concerning the Creator God aspect that's mentioned in this passage of Scripture. What did they get upset about? What did some of them openly mock and say when he got to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And by the way, that's a hurdle for many people. That's just too much for me. I can't believe in that kind of stuff. And yet that's the principle by which you and I receive new life. It's resurrection life. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to whose death? His death. I don't mean any disrespect, but God the Father did not die for your sins. The Holy Spirit did not die for your sins. Who died for your sins? Jesus Christ. Who rose in victory over sin, death, and hell? It was Jesus Christ. And that was a bridge too far. They openly hollered out and mocked at the mention of the resurrection from the dead. That's the sticking point. How can this be? And yet, in the future, when Antichrist receives the deadly wound and seems to come forth in life, do they believe that? Oh, yes. And the reason they believe it is because they can see it with their eye. Is that faith? That's not faith. Anything I can see with my eye is not faith. Faith is believing in what God has said. What He has said. Blessed are they in the future who will believe, He said in His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. They believe without seeing. They trust and rest in the truth of Jesus Christ. And so He reveals once again this Creator God, this God that He is mentioning here, will judge the earth by the standard of His Son. Who received Christ and who rejects Christ? That's the standard. Did you receive Him or did you reject Him? And then finally, I want you to see here in these closing words a fifth element concerning this God, the true and living God. And that is that this God reached out to lost humanity by sending this man, His Son. Folks, there is nothing more caring and more loving and more gracious than a man who is willing to give His Son to go and fight in a war and die. Is that not true? To say goodbye to a son and say, "Son, I may not get to see you again." Remember the gold stars that used to hang in windows during World War II of those that had lost their children? You can go down to the local cemeteries and see grave sites of people who died during the Civil War. You can see a World War I, World War II. They were the boys of families. They gave them for that purpose. But God sent His Son not just to die, but to come forth from the tomb in life. No other human being has ever done that. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that believe. The first fruits. He's the one that came forth in life. And for the lost sinner, you can have life this morning in Jesus Christ. Because this Creator God is totally unlike this stone made to the unknown God. Can that stone give me life? Can that stone send His Son to die for me? No, that's not a living thing. There is rebuke all through this to these people who in their intelligence decided that a stone could somehow substitute for a living God. It is no substitute. It has no life of its own. The life that a lost sinner can enjoy is found in the person of Jesus Christ. They mocked at the message of the resurrection, but notice, please, notice the ending of this passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." They kept the door open. We'll hear of this again. But then there was a third group. Do you see that in there? What was this third group? So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain ones clave unto him. And what? Everybody say it. Believed. Some said, that is just baloney. We can't believe. That's nonsense. Then there was a group that says, you know what? We'd like to hear more about that. And then there was the third group over here that said, we believe the testimony of what was shared. Praise God. I'm thankful for the group that says we want to hear more, but I'm more thankful for those that receive the truth, that have ears to hear the truth. Two are named there. Two are named. Isn't it interesting? A man and a woman. We see both genders represented here that came to faith in Jesus Christ. They clave unto Paul and they believed not just Paul, but the message that he proclaimed. That there is a true and living God that has made all things. He's revealed Himself in His creation. He's revealed Himself in His Son as the deliverer of sinners through His atoning work on the cross of Calvary. Trust in Him. And some did. Praise the Lord. Do you know that that reaction comes to this very day the very same way? You have some that just totally reject. You have some that say, we'd like to hear more about this sometime in the future. And then you have those that come to faith in Jesus Christ. What do we keep doing? What's our ministry? Ministry of Reconciliation. We keep going back to those that said they want to hear, and we keep talking to those that say, that's just garbage. That's not something to believe in. We still give them the gospel. Because our God is great enough to save anybody, anyone that will have ears to hear and will metanoia, change their thinking. Change their thinking. If there's someone here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, don't harden your heart. Don't just sit here and say, I'll hear about this some other time. Who knows how much time we have? Brother Ed, I'm so thankful that he knew Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But when he pillowed his head that night, he had no idea that he'd be in eternity come morning time. Total shock to everybody. We don't know how much time we have. Don't put off the eternal. Don't put off the truth of what has been revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be, everybody say it please, saved, delivered, rescued. What a glorious truth we have. Paul, in patience, went up to the Areopagus and proclaimed to skeptics the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God the Creator, the truth of the fact that God had revealed Himself in creation. Look about you. See all the wonderful, glorious creations of God. They're alive. Where do they get their life from? They get it from God. But more importantly, look at His Son, the one who is the judge, but also the deliverer from sin, the one who paid the price of our sin in His body on the tree. Folks, we've got a message to give out. Amen? We've got a message to give out. Why are we sitting on it? Why do we assume, they probably are a Christian. They're from the South. What's wrong with you? Where did you get that from? What chapter and verse did you get that? Don't speak to people in the South. They already know Jesus. I don't find that in the Bible. We've got to understand something. There are people all about us that are clinging to religion. One form or another, they're clinging to religion, and religion will not save them, i.e., the example of the Athenians on Mars Hill, clinging to religion. Paul said, I sense and see that you are very religious, but your religion will not take you to heaven when you die. Only the merits of our Savior and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank You for the testimony of the Apostle Paul as he preached that day on Mars Hill. Lord, he made much of Thee, and he made much of Your Son, Jesus Christ, before these people. He laid the foundation of God the Creator, but also of God the Sustainer and the Deliverer who loved us and sent His Son to die on Calvary's tree and brought Him forth from the tomb victorious over sin. Lord, I pray that this wonderful message and this wonderful truth would be on our lips. Well, there are people all about us with varying views and understandings, and many of them are made up and false. Some people are thinking they've done enough good, they're going to go to heaven because of the good that they have done. But that's a false narrative. That's wrong. It will damn their soul to an eternity without Christ. They need to change their thinking. They need to be confronted with the truth. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that works in hearts and lives. Lord, we're completely dependent upon His power. I can't change the mind of one sinner, but the Holy Spirit working in their hearts can. And we pray for that work to be done. Perhaps there's someone here today or someone listening by way of radio that doesn't know Jesus Christ. They have ideas about Him. They're familiar with Him, perhaps, but they don't know Him. What a difference. The Savior has been revealed. And may sinners respond to the truth of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead in victory for sinners. And those that trust, place their faith in Jesus Christ, can be delivered from their curse and from their future in hell and put on the pathway of eternal life. Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts today, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Take a hymn book and we'll close with number 348. As we have heard about our Lord and our hope in Him, I want to sing number 348, that our hope is in the Lord. Remember that chorus says, "For me He died and for me He lives." He is the resurrected Lord. Our hope is in Him. Number 348, let's stand together to sing verse number 1. Once again, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of mankind, and for the hope that we have in Him, Lord, that He lived for us and He died for us, and yet He lives again. We thank you for the resurrection, the truth of it, and how, Father, your plan from the beginning has made all this possible. I just ask that, Father, you would encourage us this week to continue on with the Lord Jesus Christ in His grace and His mercy, and of the joy that He gives us as His people. Thank you so much for all that are here. Bless each one, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.